Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Amen. Two sermons ago, I talked with you about the tree of life. Last week, we spoke about the book of life. And today, in this sermon series, I'd like to talk with you about the water of life. And God has a special water for us, a water that is able to revive us in every way. And I'd like for you to drink today. And so let's begin then and see what God would teach us about the water of life, that you may leave here fully quenched and satisfied by your God who gives you a drink. Let's begin with a story then that happened long ago in John chapter 4. I begin verse 3. Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, sat down beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now the sixth hour in Hebrew time is noon, our time, when the sun is at its zenith, the hottest time of the day. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. There is the water of life." But she doesn't believe. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Joseph, who gave us this well, Jacob, and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Well, the woman still doesn't believe. She says, mockingly, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Now he has to prove who he is. Go, call your husband and come here." The woman says, "Sir, I have no husband." Jesus says to her, "You're right in saying you have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you said truly." "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet," she says. And they continue to talk, and she says, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ." Jesus says to her, "I who speak to you am he." And she believed and went away and told all the people in the town, "Could this be the Christ, the Messiah?" She met there on that hot day at noon the water of life. And Jesus comes to you today to offer you the same thing, the water of life. And Jesus says then, here we can see that there are two different kinds of water. I got some water here with me. Tastes pretty good. This water is one type of water, a physical water. Jesus has another type of water to feed us, a spiritual water. The outer one refreshes my body. The inner one refreshes my soul. The outer one refreshes my outer man. I was just a little parched, and I was quenched by drinking this. The special one Jesus has to give us, though, quenches the longings and desires of the human heart. And this is what we're talking about today. And isn't water an amazing thing? God covered the earth 3/4 with water. Therefore, some people say we ought to spend 3/4 of our time sailing and 1/4 working. Yeah. Do you know that in your human body, you are mostly composed of water? Yeah, I don't look like water standing here, but I am mostly water. Listen to this, these facts. 70% of lean muscle is water. 70% of your blood in your body is water. 10% of body fat is water. 22% of your bones is water. And 60% of the average adult person is water. That means if I weigh 170 pounds, which I do around there, 102 pounds of me standing here is water. Isn't that an amazing thing? We are largely composed of water. And Melville and Moby Dick had some interesting things to say about water. He says, take an artist, and he draws you a beautiful picture of a natural scene, the deep woodlands, and through them winds a mazy way, a path. You see overlapping spurs of mountains bathed in hillside blue. And all this were in vain unless the shepherd's eye were fixed upon that magical stream before him. You ever buy a painting at an artist place? Would you buy one without water in it? If water is not somewhere in that picture, it leaves you dry, doesn't it? But if you see a little piece of water somewhere in that picture, you want it. He goes on to say, if Niagara Falls were a cataract of sand, would you drive travel thousands of miles to see it? Why did the poor poet of Tennessee, upon suddenly receiving two handfuls of silver, deliberate whether to buy a coat, which he sadly needed, or to invest his money in a pedestrian trip to Rockaway Beach? And I love this one. Why is almost every healthy boy with a robust, healthy soul in him at some time or other crazy to go to sea? We are drawn to water. We are water. Though earth is mostly water. And there are two kinds of water. There's the physical water, which you need daily. How long can you live without it? 3 months or so without food. 3 days without this. And you die. But how long can you live without the water of life? This one, Jesus Christ, that is, and his word, fills an inner thirst in us. And I'll bet you've all felt inner thirst. You say, wait a second, what do you mean by inner thirst? I know what a physical thirst is. If I'm parched on a hot day, when it's 6 o'clock, or sixth hour, high noon. But what about a spiritual thirst? Come on, are you going to ask that question? Has your heart never longed and yearned for things with a great thirst that you must fill them? All people are created this way. As it says in Psalm 42, it says, as the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Do you feel that thirst inside you? You know, even unbelievers who will not acknowledge God feel that thirst. And they try to feed that inner emptiness inside that needs filling somehow. Some of them turn to alcohol thinking, I'll quench the thirst with that. And for a few hours, it seems to help, but they wake up drier than they were before. Some try money to fill that, executives perhaps, and they end up bankrupt. Some try adrenaline, thrill junkies. They'll try to, I have this need, I have this drive, I must feed it somehow. And they try to take a drink of the thrills of life, and yet they end up empty in the end. And you can try any number of things. If those things are too wild for you, there's also taking up a hobby or going to therapy and counseling. Not to say that that's not necessary sometimes, but or even good deeds. Or on the wild side again, there is sex and perverted types of sex or fame or glory. And why is everybody in the world running around this way and that with a desperate desire within them? It's because they are created by the design of their creator to need water. That is spiritual water. And they're thirsty. They know it, but they don't know how to drink it. And therefore, Jesus says to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Does your soul thirst today for God as a deer pants for flowing streams? Well, God says this in Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in fatness. Incline your ear to me, come, hear, that your soul may live. And I'll make with you an everlasting covenant, my sure, steadfast love for David. Who's God talking about here when he says to you, ho, everyone who's thirsty, come to the waters and drink? Who's he talking about? Huh? Well, he's talking to you. Who's he talking about is Jesus. Why? Because the very next line says, behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander to the peoples. This is God's covenant he makes with us, Jesus Christ, and he says, here's the person, come to me. Actually, Jesus says in John chapter 7, on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, ho, everyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. How about that? Come to me and drink. Drink of me, a person, and my word. Are you thirsty today? My mom, as you know, had surgery recently and had a large part of her colon taken out. And she got into a point before she went into the ER the other week at a great emergency. The doctor said she only had 24 hours left to live if she did not remedy it. But she was so dehydrated from the way the water was passing through into her bag there that she was unable to make sense. My mom is a nurse. She's obstinate like the rest of our family, stubborn, strong-willed like all of us. She's medically alert, but when she was dehydrated, she couldn't even tell how thirsty she was, and she was within a few hours of dying of dehydration. The world, a lot of times, is the same way. So dehydrated, they don't even know they're thirsty. They don't even know where to find a drink. They're disoriented, they're so dehydrated. Well, thankfully, she got to a hospital, and they filled her with fluids and brought her sodium level up, and she's well, and I spoke with her last night, praise God. People need the same thing, all right? We're talking about there's water for you to drink, and there's water for you to drink and take it in and be refreshed in your soul. What kinds of things do you thirst for? My inner man, my inner person, soul thirsts for things like life. I want peace and security. I want gladness of heart and victory. I long for close relationships with my family and friends. I especially long for salvation, for deliverance from death, for an unconquerable life, and the promise of a God who will be with me no matter what, for all time. I long for a relationship with the living God, and God offers that to you and to me right now, to thirst and quench it on the one who is here before you through me, Jesus Christ, saying, come to me right now. Believe in me. Drink, that your soul may be quenched. He gives you a purpose in life. He gives you meaning in life. But especially, he gives you a living relationship with the living God for which you were designed in the first place, without which you will die soon of dehydration, but with which you can quickly revive and be speaking and living and revived again in your heart and soul. And this is what I'm offering to you today is Jesus Christ and his word. Which leads us to the next point. How are you going to drink of him? Whoever believes in me, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Trust, belief is the way we drink of him. But we drink of his word. I'll bet you you're still thirsty. I bet you're going, okay, this is good seminary talk. It's good theory, but I still feel thirsty, Pastor. All right, let's see if I can quench your thirst. Matthew chapter 5. Let's see if this quenches your thirst. Ready? I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Satisfied? Feel good? Quenched? How about this one? You've heard that it said to the men of old, you shall not kill. Whoever kills shall be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to the judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to hell. You quenched? Does that feel good? These are the words of God. Are you drinking them in? You feel parched? How about this one? One more. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Do you believe these words? Aren't these the words of Christ? Why aren't you being quenched? Why is your you know what? You know why? You go to a bar. What do they give you for free? Peanuts and pretzels full of salt, because salt makes you thirst. And part of God's word is out there, salt, to make you thirsty. Because God knows he's dealing with a word of people who are so dehydrated, they don't even know which end is up anymore. He's got to make you thirst to begin with. He's got to bring you his law, show you how far short you've fallen of living with God and living relationship. So, once you've had that salt, which the bartenders give you for free in order that you buy more drinks, God gives you the salt so that you may come to the waters and he may fill you. Would you like to hear a word of grace right now? A lot of you read John 3:16 and pass over it quickly. You say something like this. Yeah, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, have an eternal life. Got it, pastor. Now let me ask you, you see you're really thirsty. You're wandering through the desert. It's the sixth hour of the day. It's noon. You're really hot. You see a cup of water standing there and you go, oh yeah, that's water. And you walk on by. Did that quench your thirst? Do you come to John 3:16 and say, oh yeah, I know that one. And you walk on. You're thirsty today for the grace of God. You're thirsty for a living relationship with your living God. You see it. You say, I got it, and you pass on. How about this? You take a little bit in here, swirl it in your mouth, and spit it out. Would that quench your thirst? It might make you feel a little better for a second, but it's not going to quench your thirst. How many of you, including myself, will read the Bible, do your three chapters like a good evangelical every day, put it down, and go about your day never having really drunk what you just read? Do you do that? And you wonder why you're so thirsty. You know, Jesus says in John chapter 4 here, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. And actually, if you read that verse in the Greek, whoever, present active participle, is drinking of the water that I give him, and continually drinking in the water that I give him, will never thirst. If you are thirsty today for God's word, let's take this word of grace in again. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you take that down deep inside? Do you meditate on words like this? For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. Or ones like this, I'm with you always to the close of the age. I'll admit something to you. When I started this service, I was like, God, help me. I need strength today. I've not been the best Christian all week. I've not been in my word all week. I've not been in prayer all week like I want to be. And then I just heard him say, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll minister through you. And I drank that in, thinking about my sermon. And it changed the way I led you today. Because I'm taking that word deep down and slowing down with it and drinking it. And if you're thirsty today, I want to ask you, are you passing by, acknowledging the water? Are you swilling it around your mouth? Are you actually drinking in the word? Slow down with it and read it. And believe it, and entrust in it. As Jesus says in Isaiah chapter 12, it is said, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Would you drink these words with me today? I'm not so thirsty anymore physically or spiritually. And we'll conclude with this, because God is leading you to a wonderful new city. It says in Revelation 22, "Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. And they need no light of any lamp. Then night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever." The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price, says the Lord your God. Drink, drink, and if you're thirsty, continue to drink until your thirst is quenched from the wells of God's salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.